Life is full of adventures in the shape of places, people, and experiences. And in retirement, it's your turn to choose what those adventures look like. Whether you want to travel, fish, hit the beach, or see grandkids, it's important to take time to connect to your dreams for retirement. Welcome to the Delaware Retirement Connection with your host, Len. As a certified life coach and certified financial planner, Lynn combines life coaching and financial advisory skills to help retirees identify and fund their life goals, hopes, and dreams to make their retirement as amazing as they want it to be. Now, here's Lynn.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with my wife, Joyce, of 30 years, and we're going to be talking about reconnecting with passions. And this is a great topic for folks who are retired and are looking for things that they're excited about. And of course, we always can try new things, but it might just be a great idea to reconnect with something that we really enjoyed at one time in our life we set aside. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about my recollections in life. There's many things I've pursued over the years, many things that I've had a lot of interest in and devoted myself to excel in. And one of those things is volleyball. And I'm at a stage now where I really can't play it nearly like I did when I was younger. For one, my body just doesn't work like it used to. And, volleyball is kind of an explosive game if you play at a high level, and my body just can't take that strain. But I do remember when I reconnected with my volleyball interests about, let's say, 7-8 years ago with my son, with our son, Dan. We used to play beach volleyball. So, Joyce, what do you remember about those beach volleyball days, watching your old man and your young son playing?
Well, it was great going to the beach and making a day of it. And I remember in the past going to other types of tournaments. So, you know, you're going to be there all day. But you get a little break in the water and watching the different courts. It's always fun.
And what do you remember of our volleyball matches? Anything? Or you just remember the beach?
Well, I remember the one that you guys definitely won. And that was a great ending to a summer where father and son got to play volleyball together. It's definitely a great memory to just keep with you forever.
It was a lot of fun. And I remember after the game, we went to a hot dog stand and had hot dogs with sauerkraut. And I think I had one with maybe some onions. And of course, we had a big root beer. And that was a lot of fun. But you know what's really interesting? When we think about connecting with our passions, of course, we enjoy something that we used to enjoy at a previous time in our life. But we also do connect with people that we value and enjoy doing life with in those areas, in those passions that, what better than to do what we love with people that we love? And so volleyball was a passion of mine for many years. I played in college. And of course, Joyce, you play in college. And I don't know, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about your experience with volleyball and maybe how we met.
Well, I played volleyball in California and played in junior high and high school. And I remember when I graduated, I didn't quite go right off to college. But when I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, that's when I realized the school I was going to had a volleyball team. And I was so excited to be able to play again. And after those years were done, I was looking to play a club team, and Len was just transferring from University of Georgia to the Chattanooga area, and he came to UT Chattanooga for searching out a men's team. And the women's coach there was the men's club team coach. So we kind of met on the volleyball court there, and I heard about Len because someone said, hey, there's a new guy here. And I heard that he could jump 40 inches. And I said, wow, I gotta see this for myself. And
so what was your picture? What was your picture?
I had this picture of this big guy because I'm thinking if he can jump 40, he must be really tall. And of course, when he comes walking on the court, they point out who he is. I said, who, him? He was only like 5'8" or and a half, maybe. And I couldn't really believe that he could do it, but we did have some good games together, and we started working out and training, playing some triples on grass, and it was just a great time.
So really what you're saying is it was love at first sight. I just, when you first laid your eyes on me, you just couldn't believe it. Actually, I think you're just saying just the opposite. So that was just a wonderful time in our life. It was a great connection between us. It was really the beginning of our relationship. And it was really fun how I was able to connect with my one son who played volleyball with that one passion that was the starting point of our relationship. That's so incredibly wonderful. And it's something that I know Dan treasures and something I treasure. What I'd like to ask Joyce is, what is something that you have had a passion for at one time in your life? And how have you thought about reconnecting with that?
Well, the one passion that I had, especially when the kids were younger, was scrapbooking. And I started albums for each of the children. I got through several of them, but then somehow time got away, and other demands came upon me, and I just really set that aside. I have thousands of pictures. Now, these are like hard copies, not digital.
I will attest to that. We have many pictures, yes.
But the great thing about it is I just found a connection recently where I'm going to be able to do some scrapbooking and hopefully get all these albums together that are still in boxes.
Well, we're talking about connecting or reconnecting with our passions. And it's interesting how you used to do scrapbooking and you spent a lot of time with you. She used to teach people how to scrapbook. You had a little scrapbooking business, and I know you enjoyed that immensely, but it got away because that's life. You know, sometimes we set aside our passions because life gets in the way. And, you know, if we focus on our passions, then we're not doing life the way we need to, right? So that kind of goes by the wayside. And sure, you could just pick up scrapbooking on your own, but sometimes it's a challenge to do that when you're trying to get back into a passion because it just takes some extra effort and mental energy. I know you had some struggles with that. So what makes it so important to reconnect with folks or connect with new folks to re-engage in our passions? Why is that so helpful?
Well, it's helpful, I think, to really keep the motivation going. I know when I was younger, I would try to keep the ladies enthused about coming and encourage them to keep working on the project. And I feel now I'm in that category where I need the motivation and encouragement from others to keep going.
And sometimes it's helpful for someone just to kind of walk alongside you or just kind of give you a hand and then you're on your way. But sometimes you just need to break through that little mental barrier or whatever's holding us back because, you know, let's face it, doing new things sometimes isn't easy, right? But I have to be honest with you, Joyce, I kind of thought that you would mention something other than scrapbooking. As a matter of fact, just this past Sunday when we were in church together, I thought you sort of gravitating toward another one of your passions. And I think, you know, I see you nodding your head. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, that other passion really was singing. And when I was in school, whether I was in choir in middle school and through high school and college, I was in a concert choir. And I just really loved singing and going on tour and just being able to be mindful of the songs that I'm singing, being able to use that talent, and just enjoyed singing. But I did, again, set that aside. And maybe I can't really pinpoint why, but having this opportunity come up, now that I don't have all those distractions of raising my children, might be something that I'm looking forward to being able to add to my life.
All right, so let's reconnect with that passion. And let's do that by thinking about what maybe you missed and why you would like to reconnect with that. It might be helpful for our listeners who've had a passion over the years and set that aside and wondering if maybe they should kind of get back into it. So what would benefit you? What would you want to do that?
I think for the most part, it would be just that self-enjoyment again. I've always enjoyed it in the past, and I think picking it back up again will fulfill a deep longing and blessing of singing in my life.
And also for you, a lot of the singing is tied to your spirituality and churches, right? So that's also connected to your faith. And I know when you sing that that stimulates and encourages your faith and it actually builds your faith. So there's a double benefit, right? One is the pleasure of the music, and one is the closest you feel in your spirituality to God.
Absolutely, yes.
So what we're going to do, we're going to do a little bit of a role play here, and we're going to project how it will be for you down the road, maybe it's 6 months, maybe a year from now. We'll have a similar combination, and I'm going to ask you then, I'll ask you now, as if it's the future, aren't you glad that you got back into singing? And so it's kind of projected future. Work with me, Joyce, if you would. So what's that going to look like down the road after you've looked back in this time when you reconnected with that passion of yours?
I am so glad that I brought this old passion back to life again. And I'm really enjoying being able to strengthen my voice and allowing it to deeply touch my spirit and to be able to share it with others.
And what about folks maybe that you're singing with? What do you think might be the benefit of that?
I'm going to be able to love hearing all the harmonies that I've enjoyed. And I'm really looking forward to being able to connect that and continue it and to share it with new people.
And I think it'll be a wonderful way to make some friends and connect better with the area. That's what we're all about here at Delaware Retiree Connection. We want to help connect folks who live in Delaware, whether you've been here for a while or whether you've just moved to coastal Delaware. We want you to connect with the folks here, the resources here, so that you can love living here. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about music and try to encourage you to reconnect with that passion. We'll be right back.
Excited for retirement? All that daydreaming can be time-consuming enough as it is. So why not get a little help with your retirement planning? Give Len a call at 302-501-7711 and see where you stand in retirement. What if you ordered a pizza, but when you opened the box, a couple of pieces were missing? That would be upsetting, right? Now, think about how much you believe you've saved for retirement. Do you still owe taxes on that money? Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and his team at Dedicated Financial Services understand the importance of tax planning and can help you reduce the impact that Uncle Sam has on your retirement. Give them a call today to start working on your retirement tax plan, 302-501-7711. Now may be a great time to lower your future tax liability. Create a retirement plan today so you can get as many slices of your retirement pie as possible. Call Len at 302-501-7711 today and schedule your visit. That's 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services and may not give tax advice. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DedicatedFinancialServices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. It's my pleasure to have two new friends with me, Steve Greifer and Jim Anderson. Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you, Len.
So these are fellows who founded the Sodello Orchestra along with Eve.
Eva Delgado is our co-founder as well.
And how does Eva fit into this thing? Just a friend or a professional relationship?
Eva is also a musician. And when I first posted some posts on Facebook looking for fellow musicians to play chamber music. She responded, but it grew far past just simple chamber music.
So tell us a little bit about the history of Sodella Orchestra. How did it get founded, and what was the heartbeat behind it, and really, what is your mission?
So Sodella really grew out of my personal desire as a new resident of Southern Delaware to find people to play music with. I am a violin player, and I had given it up for about 30 years and was starting to play again. So I posted a call for folks that wanted to play. And surprisingly to me, we got tons of responses, including a response from Eva, who is a longer term resident down here who teaches violin and cello with the Delaware Music School, and she had a passion for forming an orchestra. So my passion for playing chamber music grew as Eva and I spoke together. And then we needed a conductor, and we called Jim.
Yes, so I received an email from Eva, and she asked me, in my role as Director of Orchestral Activities at the University of Delaware, she said that, you know, I know that you have a few graduate students, maybe they'd be interested in coming down and helping us start this orchestra. And I told Eva, I said, well, wait a second, maybe I would be interested in doing this. I have a passion also for starting orchestras. I've done it several times, and I've seen firsthand the positive impact these groups can have on the community.
So you guys just started this orchestra. Very exciting to start something new. And the response has been overwhelming. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the response has been overwhelming on two fronts. And when we think about the orchestra, we really think about it in two ways. One is a place for musicians to come and play together. And it's a range of musicians from people who really are dusting off their instrument after 20 or 30 years to people who are current professionals. But the other side of it is the community of Southern Delaware. And we also want to build on the existing musical culture in Southern Delaware by introducing a string orchestra and ultimately a full orchestra on the community side as part of what we are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, we recognize that there's a vibrant cultural community here in Southern Delaware with really strong choral programs, Rehoboth Band, but we also recognize that there was something missing, that there was no string institution, no full orchestra that was resident here. And so that was very exciting for us to be a part of starting.
So you started an organization and you had people sign up, and within that same year, you had a concert and you had people coming out listening to you. Love to hear how all that happened and what did you play? Where did you play?
Well, Jim, why don't you talk about the program and I can talk a little bit about how we got there.
Sure. So when the call went out for players, we had we eventually had about 50 people who expressed some interest, maybe more than that, I think. And by the time we started rehearsals and preparing for the concert, we had a total of 33 in the orchestra for the first performance in this past July. The repertoire was a variety of classical favorites. There were some interesting newer works on there. The performance took place at Bethel United Methodist Church in Lewis. Much to our great pleasure, a full packed house. And so it was clear from the beginning that we had the support from musicians who wanted to form this community of an orchestra, and that we had support from the community itself, and that it was a venture that its time had come.
I think that really the big thing is that sense of community also. So people started by responding in social media, but pretty quickly we got together our first rehearsals and things grew from there. People told friends. And we do probably have 50 to 60 people who have shown up at one rehearsal or another. The size of the actual orchestra for performances is going to go up and down depending on what the season is. But also through opportunities like this one, we were able to get the word out and let people know that there is an opportunity both to participate in the musicians community of Sodella itself and to be part of the larger musical community performing for folks who live here.
So obviously you're in flux. Things are going to change. We don't really want to talk so much about your first season. We want to talk about where it's going in the future. And love to get your vision for that. And how do you see this thing I shouldn't say this thing, this beautiful, this enterprise. How do you see it growing and building from here?
Well, ultimately, we want to be a full orchestra. The real gap in the beginning, as we said, was that there was no string opportunity. But from here, probably not in the coming 12 months, but hopefully soon thereafter, we will add winds and percussion and everyone else, and that'll really open up the kind of music that we can play. The other two things when we think about long term is, number one, we want to be long term. We want the orchestra to be here 20 years from now or 50 years from now and really a part of the community. And we also would love to find, as we move forward, a home, a permanent home where the orchestra can perform. Right now, we have the privilege of playing in a lot of different places and kinds of places. But again, to really dig our roots deep into the community, finding a home for us to play from is something that we're looking towards.
All right. So tell our listeners how they can connect with you and meet you so that they can find out about your practices, find out a little bit about your performances and how they can engage with you.
Well, right now, the easiest thing to do is to go to our Facebook page where we are Sodello. We're going to be putting up a new website, sodellomusic.com, in the coming weeks. And people can email us, probably for starters, sgreifer@gmail.com. We have a long list of things that we need help on, from funding to volunteer activities around our concerts to marketing, et cetera, et cetera. It's a really exciting time to be part of the orchestra. And very importantly, we always want to welcome new musicians and continue to grow that way.
And I should probably mention that it's spelled S-O-D-E-L-O. So it's Sodello Orchestra. Starting new ventures is always exciting, always interesting. And tell our listeners, really, for folks who have some interest in it, what are some roles that you'd be encouraging people to fill, whether musical or volunteering in some way, to get the orchestra off the ground and get it to the next level? What are some of the skills? Because you need more than just people who play violins and cellos.
Well, I'll just address the music from the musician standpoint. And we want to make it clear that we actually have a policy that people are not required to audition to be a part of the group. And so they come in with the passion to play the instrument. And so we need people who want to, we have people who range from being really strong student musicians in middle school all the way up to retirees. And really the main criteria is having this love for music. In terms of all the roles, I'll let Steve handle the logistical side of things.
Well, again, we're looking for people to help us with everything from publicity to day of concert logistics to marketing to our electronic presence, our digital presence with Facebook and Instagram, et cetera. So it's really about playing. It's about attracting audiences. And it's also about funding the orchestra, because there are costs around venues and rentals and personnel. So we are going after grants, but we're also approaching companies and foundations looking for donations and partnerships on that front as well. Yes, we are a 501c3. So that is part of our early identity.
When people think about any type of production, they often do not realize the magnitude of what goes into it. And there are some people who are really operationally gifted. And just tell our listeners, what does it take to pull off we'll call a simple concert that has already been practiced, ready to go, you know, showtime? What is needed from that? The operational details are just incredible.
The logistical juggernaut to put on a concert includes things like equipment, the chairs and stands, music for the players, lighting, AV system potentially, tickets collecting, donations. You know, the list really goes on and on. A venue, other costs associated with the venue is the rental itself, any sort of equipment used to capture the performance in terms of of the recording or a video. So really, it's as many of those things as you want to take on. Ultimately, we're trying to put on a wonderful musical event, but that is probably about 50% of it. The rest of it is logistics.
Well, and there's also the logistics. We work hard to play beautiful music and play it well, but a musician wants to play for people. So in addition to finding the right place for us to play, we need to put butts in seats, if I may use such language. And that's everything from putting posters up in storefronts to getting press, to getting word of mouth, social media, advertising. All of those things take a lot of time and take a lot of expertise. And that's something that people have really helped us out with and are rising to the occasion. We have a good volunteer staff, but lots and lots of room for people to help us out further on all of these things. So thank you for realizing how much goes into this beyond the musicianship.
This is Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, speaking with Jim Anderson and Steve Greifer from the Sodella Orchestra. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
What does your dream retirement look like? While you're busy thinking about that, why not let Len help you figure out how to make that happen? Simply call 302-501-7711 to get started. Dedicated Financial Services has a question for you. Is your retirement inflation-proofed? Here's what we mean. In retirement, chances are you're on a fixed income with variable expenses. So how do you not run out of money when the cost of just about everything continues to go up? You inflation-proof it. Lynn and the team at Dedicated Financial Services can show you strategies to help combat inflation so it doesn't outpace your retirement income. Call us today at 302-501-7711 to learn more. Inflation could take a huge chunk out of your retirement savings, but it doesn't have to. With some simple planning, inflation can go from being a major disruption to a minor annoyance. Call Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and the team at Dedicated Financial Services now and start inflation-proofing your retirement today. 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711. Investing involves risk. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with Steve Greifer and Jim Anderson, co-founders of Sodella Orchestra. And guys, you know, I'm reading in the Facebook post you have, Sodella is a musical ensemble whose mission is to provide a welcoming environment for orchestra musicians in Southern Delaware to learn, play, and perform classical music for the community, enhancing the richness of the culturing offerings of our region. So that's a great mission, but I don't think it really captures what you're really trying to get at the heart of the folks who are involved with what you do.
Yeah, you know, at the heart of it, we're trying to inspire each other, trying to inspire our listeners. As musicians, we all had at some point some pivotal moment where music grabbed us. I remember when I was 7 years old, my sister had a friend who played piano, and she'd come over and play our piano. And I would just sit against that instrument and feel the resonance. And from that point on, it lit a fire in me to start exploring this idea of how music can transform people, how it can lift people up, how it can be cathartic. And so if you asked every musician that question, how they began as a musician, they would have some variation of that theme, right? That there was some moment where music just took hold. And when we form an orchestra, we create this community that wants to share that passion, that experience. We're hoping to light that fire in our listener.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about people's passion for music that we're tapping into here. And a lot of the folks in the orchestra are coming back to it because I don't think there's a member of the orchestra, or for that matter, a member of our audiences who wouldn't say at some point in their life, if you gave them 1 minute to talk about themselves, if the word music wouldn't be mentioned in it, or if their instrument wouldn't be named in it. But you go through life and it ebbs and it flows. And many of us are coming back to a time where we have more time, where we're reassessing what's important to us, and playing music for other people is becoming really central to a lot of us. And that's really one of the big things behind the orchestra.
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up, because it really ties into something that I have a passion for, talking about people's identity as a retiree advisor, and the book I'm writing, Maximizing Your Retirement, which is available to folks, really tries to capture that identity. You know, people, they go through life and they collect different identities, and sometimes they're more important or less important. I call these identity components. And a lot of us might have that music component identity that sort of been a little bit latent. And it's an opportunity for people to reconnect with who they are in the stage of life where they're retired and they have that ability to rediscover that part of themselves. It looks, Jim, like you want to say something.
No, I would just say that I would go a step further and say that everyone has that musical component and that part of their life. Can you imagine any event that we celebrate that doesn't have music? Marriages, birthday parties, at funerals. When 9/11 happened, this horrific event, Congress went outside and they sang on the steps of Congress. And so music is actually a fundamental, essential element of our lives. And often people sometimes say, well, I don't know about classical music, but classical music is 500 years of extraordinary repertoire that is so diverse, there's something in it for everybody. It goes back to, I remember from my young years in the late 60s, early 70s, so the cartoons were just filled with classical music, Looney Tunes, right? All the way up into movie music today. Can you imagine a film today without music underscoring it? All this comes from the tradition of classical music.
One of the other points also is it's not just our connection and our affinity to music and to our instruments, but it's a connection to people who feel the same way. And that's really been one of the great things about Sodelo, is a chance to meet all of those people that you have that in common with and who share that passion.
I'm so glad you brought that up because, Steve, it's such an important part of our lives, right? We're not just independent people just doing stuff. We're people who are very connected, whether we live sort of an independent mindset or not. The fact of the matter is we are a community and we're trying to connect in a meaningful way with other people in our community. So I love to hear about an organization that's fairly new, how people have connected and how they've developed relationships through music.
Well, when we moved to Delaware in October, we hardly knew anyone. And we moved into a community for the purpose of being able to meet other people. And the orchestra has really been a great opportunity, just speaking personally, for me to start to meet people who already live here, who are already part of the community, who are already have some of the same interests that I have. And I think that that's been true of other people as well. So it's really finding a way into the Southern Delaware community and finding like-minded, friendly people to do things with, even beyond the music, that has been one of the great things about the group.
You know, it's interesting how we talk about connection. You have folks who live in a lot of the 55-plus communities, which is great, and they share a lot of recreational-type interests. They do a lot of fun stuff together, but it's somewhat less likely that one of the people that you just happen to live across the street with, that you play cards with or go to happy hour with, happens to share one of your deepest passions.
That's right.
So we really, really want to help people connect and that really passionate level. And I'm going to ask you, Jim, to answer this question. How do people connect? You've met many musicians. How do they connect at that deeper level through music?
Yeah, I'm always amazed at the incredible diversity of life experiences people bring into an orchestra. And then the common denominator is the music, right? And the orchestra then becomes a place for us to, let me put it this way. Our music making becomes much deeper when we learn about each other, right? This is one of the great strengths of a true community orchestra. My personal a path as a professional conductor has taken me all over the world, working with great professional orchestras. And at the university, this faculty-student relationship comes with a certain type of distance. But a community orchestra is about learning about all of us and applying that into the music-making process. And so it can be people from every walk of life. There's doctors and lawyers and teachers, and yet the common denominator is music.
Talk a little bit about how your musicians connect with you as the conductor. It's been a while since I have played music, and I'm thinking about the conductors. It was in high school, and how I felt about the conductor. I'd like to get your take, and then I'll share my take.
Boy, I really think that's a great question for a player to talk about a conductor. You bring to mind a story. Herbert von Karajan, one of the great conductors of the Golden Age, said this role of being a conductor, it takes 10 years for you to be able to hear what an orchestra can do. It takes you another 10 years to be able to know what to do with what you can now hear, right? And then maybe you're a conductor. And so I find that every ensemble, so this coming back to this question, it's every ensemble is completely different, right? And so you have to learn how this relationship evolves. And every conductor will have their own technique, their own way of interacting. But the success of that, I'm not willing to comment on. I think that's probably for a player to say.
Well, I just speak for myself as a person in the stage of my life, you know, that I, in age group, a lot of retirees. You know, there's so much in my life that I have to be in charge of and make happen. You know, the support groups around me are kind of sort of me, whatever I drum up, right? But it's nice to have just to be an Indian. It's just let someone take over the conducting and, okay, we're going to take us from the top, or, you know, we're going to go, you know, whatever, you know what I'm saying, how you just direct it. And it's just kind of nice to remove that and have someone that I can look up to, you know, have that kind of a relationship where, you know, I'm not the top of every pyramid. This is the Dell Retiree Connection. You're listening to your host, Len, the Dell Retiree Advisor, here with Jim Anderson and Steve Greifer talking about Sodala Orchestra. You know, it's interesting. I think people have become a little more diverse in their appreciation for different things in their life, in our culture. But you still have those people who are the naysayers, like classical music. Oh, God, I don't want to play. Let me play some rock and roll. Even now, my parents were more like classical music type people. They weren't so much into rock and roll. But I'm finding that's having a resurgence really amongst all age groups and a lot of retirees who maybe weren't that interested in classical music. Talk a little bit about that. You know, people who maybe aren't so jazzed about, well, there's a good pun, or I should say, no pun intended, for people who are maybe not so experienced or perhaps versed in classical music.
I would say challenge accepted. I think that if someone says, and people have said that to me actually, and it makes me want to go through this list of 500 years worth of repertoire, and something in there, people have will go, oh, I didn't know that was classical music. Of course it is. It can mean a lot of different things to different people. So I think that the utility of music, right, can be used in a lot of different ways. And so therefore, it's in our life constantly. And when someone says that they're not a fan of classical music, it's just they haven't found the right classical music for them.
Coming to the concerts isn't necessarily just about people who already like classical music. Many of the people in our audience are coming because they're our friends and they like us and they appreciate what it takes to put on something like that. So we're opening it up to people who may not have come through the door to hear classical music, but realize that they like it after they've come because they like us.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, here with Steve Greifer and Jim Anderson from Sodala Orchestra. Steve, tell our listeners how they can connect with you if they have some interest in classical music.
Well, the easiest thing right now is to go to our Facebook page, Sodelo, S-O-D-E-L-O, which, by the way, stands for the Southern Delaware Orchestra. And look us up there. You'll see connections to myself and Eva, our co-founder, and you can reach out to us there. Our website, sodelomusic.com, is also about to go live.
Steve, you talked a little bit about the connection between the musicians and the folks who are listening, we'll call them the audience. And a lot of it is friendship-based, but there's more than that. It's people who just have a love for the music or have a love for just maybe relaxing in that moment. Talk a little bit about how listeners connect with classical music for folks who have a passion for it or just have a passing interest.
You know, Jim and I were talking, and one of the things that I was remarking on is the YouTube videos with the crowdsource classical music performances, where there's a plaza in Vienna with a cellist playing, and before you know it, it's the performance of the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And you look at the reactions of the people, whether they're small children or older people, and it just reaches a part of people's soul. It lights them up, in a way that Stairway to Heaven may not necessarily do. Although it's pretty close with Stairway to Heaven.
You make a good point. People start these flash mobs and it's like people, you know, they hear something, they get it that something's going on, and then they're like, they're totally excited about it because of the spontaneity of it. But then they continue their interest because of the art form. And that's really what we're connecting to. Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks, Steve, for being part of our program today. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We'll be right back after a short break. Thanks for listening.
We all want the freedom to do the things that make us happy, especially in retirement. To get help with laying the foundation for that freedom, call 302-501-7711 and have a chat with Len. What if you ordered a pizza, but when you opened the box, a couple of pieces were missing? That would be upsetting, right? Now, think about how much you believe you've saved for retirement. Do you still owe taxes on that money? Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and his team at Dedicated Financial Services understand the importance of tax planning and can help you reduce the impact that Uncle Sam has on your retirement. Give them a call today to start working on your retirement tax plan, 302-501-7711. Now may be a great time to lower your future tax liability. Create a retirement plan today so you can get as many slices of your retirement pie as possible. Call Len at 302-501-7711 today and schedule your visit. That's 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services and may not give tax advice. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by DedicatedFinancialServices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back. Thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. This is your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We're talking about reconnecting with our passions. And I think all my listeners know what I'm talking about. These are things that we have done one time in our lives that we've really enjoyed, things that we were very dedicated to and we were very excited about and maybe was part of our identity at one time. And so when we go through life, we have passions in a certain season, a certain time, but some of these passions truly are timeless. But life, the way it is, can slip away, get away from us because we're busy doing things we need to do. And the passions that were once held dear have slipped away. And so here we are at this stage in our lives called retirement. And we're trying to do things we enjoy. We're trying to connect with people. We're trying to connect with who we are. And we have this whole really unlimited set of options before us when we're in retirement. We can pretty much do whatever we want with the time we have. As long as we have the skills, abilities to do that, as long as we have the health to do that and the financial resources to do that to the extent that finances are necessary for that activity. And we're trying to figure out what we want to do. Now, of course, we can always try new things, and I love trying new things. I think new experiences are always wonderful and welcome. But sometimes when we're looking at something to pursue, it might be helpful to just look at the different things that we've enjoyed over the course of our lives and really try and press into that and think about what it might look like to reconnect with those special passions and interests we have. And the process that I recommend to do that is just to maybe do an inventory of your life and think about different stages of life and what those different stages of life looked like for you. What did you enjoy in those stages of life? So everything from your childhood to your early teen and maybe your high school years to your young adult life. Maybe you were in college. Maybe you went to trade school. Maybe the military. And there are certain things that you picked up for the first time. College and that stage of life going into adulthood often creates new opportunities, new explorations, and that stage of life is often rich
with passions and pleasures that we pursued and the passions that we valued. So that might be a good time to look at when we consider what we want to reconnect with. Also, when we look at our lives as if we were having families of our own, if we had children, what we were doing with our children, and was that similar to what we did when we were children? What were some of their passions that we also had a passion for that maybe something we want to rekindle? And of course, we might have been involved in different clubs and organizations, and the mission or the purpose of that organization might have been that specific passion that we had. It might have been the passion or that activity we were involved with might have been related to that organization, but that might have been the sole purpose of that organization. So that's always a wonderful thing to tap into. And of course, we may want to look at folks that we had close relationships with and consider what were some of the passions that we shared with them and how did that connect to our lives and what did we enjoy in those different stages of life. So here we are, we do an inventory and we've maybe identified a few things that we have decided to pursue to some extent. Well, what do we do with that? What is our next step? Well, there's a number of things we can do. I think the first thing is to consider doing a little research, find out what are the options in the area, who are some people that are maybe doing that. Maybe the passion, the interest you had has changed over time. Maybe there's some new technologies or new skills or new equipment you need, depending on what your passion is. And so that might require maybe some investment of time. May require that you take some lessons or get some assistance in regaining your skills. Or maybe it's something informal where you just connect with some folks that can give you a head start. And there might be some financial requirements. My suggestion in this process is to start off slow. I think it's probably a bad idea to just go gung-ho and give it a try and then find out it's a little bit more than you can handle and then get discouraged. But I would just say dip your toe in the water and see what that looks like and meet some folks. And if you need to invest some money, do that. Don't get the most expensive equipment. Maybe get some used equipment. I don't know what your passion might be, but start slowly and be moderate about it. Don't make that a full-time focus. Just give it a try and see how that fits into your life. And over time, I think it will be clear to what extent that is something you want to pursue in a greater extent. Do you want to spend more time with that? Do you want to invest some more finances to that? Do you need to get more equipment? Do you need to get better equipment? Do you need some professional training to be more proficient in that? And then I think from there, you really want to consider how you're engaging with that passion, with that interest, with others. It could be your current set of contacts, family members, or friends. And, there's nothing better than doing those things you enjoy most with those folks you enjoy doing it most with. So that might be a greater enjoyment for you. But sometimes what happens when we have a true passion for a certain activity or a hobby or interest, sometimes we need to create new relationships because the people who we're doing life with don't appreciate to the same extent. And one of the dangers is if we stay within that same circle, that might actually be a discouragement from people not being interested in it or wondering why you're interested in it. So sometimes just that process of identifying what it is you're interested in creates an added benefit of expanding your contacts, your network, and the people that you enjoy doing life with. So you need to really, to get the best of or the most out of the thing you're interested in, the passion you're interested in, connect with other people and really engage with them. A couple things will happen. You'll enjoy the passion and you'll
you'll enjoy the people that you do life with that activity more. And so there's a double connection, a double benefit there. Now, as things proceed, depending on your passion and how that all may work out, you might even want to consider taking that interest to the next level and even explore some potential financial opportunities. Now, that's not why we do these things. It's not why we engage them in them, because ultimately, when we're in retirement, we really want to focus on doing what we want to do with the resources and time we have. Now, of course, if you need the money, that's always a good thing. But and certainly it's never inadvisable to have more money. But, you know, we don't do that for the money. At least that would not be my advice to do that. But getting to the point where you have some proficiency and you've enjoyed it, sometimes it's helpful to consider that as a business, but we want to make sure that the business doesn't take over the passion, so that, you know, we're not doing it for the fun, but we're doing it because of now the money, and then the passion goes away. But assuming that you maintain the passion in the context of a business, well, that's really wonderful, because a couple of things happen. One is it forces you to be more proficient at it. It forces you to really work at that skill and that talent, because people are expecting a little more of an excellence from that. The other thing is, it gives us a sense of further accomplishment, and it gives us an additional reinforcement to what we're doing. And when we do go that path, if you should go down that path in exploring the business opportunity, again, I would recommend that you do that rather cautiously. Don't spend a lot of time and money investing in the business and infrastructure and building overhead and have all these startup costs, but start slowly and start simply and see if there's an interest in what you do. And don't spend a whole lot of money on advertising, but just see how it grows organically. And maybe it will, maybe it won't. And if it won't, that's fine, because you still enjoy the passion of doing it. But if it does grow steadily, and make sure that it fits into your overall lifestyle. So it's not no longer a passion, but it's a requirement, something controlling you. And as you progress with that, and as your business prospers, that will give you further enjoyment and further reassurance that this is something that was wonderful that you reconnected with. So just looking at our process again, when we're trying to reconnect with our passions, what we really need to do is really do an inventory of our lives and really identify those passions that we had throughout our lives, and give it some thought how that might look like in this current stage of life. Do a little research, find out what that looks like at this time. How has the technology or the skill set or whatever expertise required for that passion expanded? Where are some places that you can connect with this, and who are some of the folks that you can connect with? And start slowly, a little bit at a time, and meet people, develop relationships in the process as that becomes maybe more important part of your life. And if that progresses down the road to actually being a financial opportunity, well, take a look at that and embrace that as the opportunity seems to make sense with whatever else you're doing in life. And mostly, as you go through that building of it, make sure that as you're living that passion, then that you maintain your excitement about it. And then it doesn't become a requirement, something you have to do, because then the passion element goes away. This is Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. Thanks so much for listening. We'll look forward to speaking with you again and reconnecting next week.
Leonard P. Haydachuk is an investment advisor representative of SGL Financial LLC and offers insurance services through this SEC-registered firm. He also offers insurance products and services in Delaware as an individual licensed and appointed insurance agent through Dedicated Financial Services.